Well, we're going to talk about the prayer of faith, but before we talk about praying, let's just briefly talk about what faith is. And popular scripture in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And it's important to understand if faith is that it brings what we cannot see into the scene. And so there's evidence that our faith is there because it will bring what we cannot see to be seen. And so our faith, when we have faith for a healing, that faith brings the unseen into what we can see. And so same with faith for a service. When we have faith that God will come to our service, that's expectation that God's going to be here and he's going to act and he's going to do things. We've released that faith for what we could not see, and it brings it into what we can see. And so that's important to understand when we pray the prayer of faith, because we're praying for things and we're casting a expectation for something that is not seen, that we're trying to bring into what is seen. And so we must see it in faith first. So where did this prayer of faith come from? As Pastor asked if I would kind of address that, I don't know what date it came into be. There's not really a specific prayer in Scripture, but ever since the Holy Ghost outpouring in the 19th century, there had seemed to be some way to pray in faith. And then Brother Billy Cole, we talked about this a little bit last night, but Brother Billy Cole, he really propelled the prayer of faith among our organization. And so him and Brother Stone King and a couple others, pillars, and some really great evangelists, they have propelled that forward. And so we've kind of, it's not to say, well, what they did, we're just going to copy that, but they did it for a specific reason, and so we'll discuss that here. So why do we pray the prayer of faith? It might seem like a simple answer, but it's a little more difficult in practice. Is simply, it is to increase people's faith and to loose faith into the atmosphere. This is why we pray the prayer of faith. It's to increase people's faith. Saints in the pew, or if it's a conference and there's other ministers, maybe we have no idea what they've been struggling with or what trials their storms are facing or anything like that. And so we pray this prayer of faith because it brings that expectation in the hearts of people and into the atmosphere at that moment. And so it's key that we come with faith, but then when we specifically, why do we pray the prayer of faith? It's to kind of increase that moment, that expectation, that faith that, I don't know if we talked about this last night or not, but some people have faith that God will heal them, and they'll heal them through a doctor's hand. Like if they're having if they had cancer and they were going in for surgery, they have faith that God's going to direct the hand of the physician to get it all out. And that's faith. But when we pray the prayer of faith, we're really praying for an instantaneous miracle, something that happens right now. And so when we pray the prayer of faith, that's what we have to kind of create, that atmosphere here when we're getting up and we feel like that's taking place. You'll feel it maybe in the service if you're directing it or leading that service, and God will prompt on you, now's the time, I want to do something. And then that's when you can go into praying the prayer of faith at that moment, because you're trying, there's faith that's needing to be increased for the miracle to bring what's unseen into what can be seen. And so something that we can do that is, when we're praying that prayer of faith, when we first feel that, say something that will increase people's faith. If you feel that you want to, God's trying to do something, then say something from the past that God has done to increase people's faith even further. If God did something here in this service last week, say God wants to do that again. He wants to fill someone with the Holy Ghost this week like he did last week. Or if somebody was healed that you prayed for, and just begin to say last week or whenever, you don't even have to put a time on it, but just say there was this person with cancer and we laid hands on them and they were healed, or they had back pain and instantly they were healed. And that's what you do before you say the prayer of faith, because that's increasing the faith. That's building the people's expectation that something's going to happen when we pray. And so that needs to happen. The prayer of faith is there to build and increase faith so we can bring what's unseen to be seen. God operates off of what we believe for him to do. Brother Stone King really hit this hard on me. He was preaching and he was just talking about just a crazy concept I never heard before, but he was saying how we all have our own angel that kind of looks like us, and I was like, I never heard that before. And I think some people were very skeptical of it, but he said we get out of this what we believe, and it's not to say that we can just believe some crazy stuff, but what he's saying is that if you don't have the faith to believe for it, it will never happen. And if to kind of get an idea of what that means, the woman with the issue of blood did not know anything about Christianity. She didn't know anything about Jesus other than that she heard stories of what he's done. And so she did not get told, if you would do this, you'll be healed. She just had faith enough to say, well, if he really did all those things and he really operates that way, if I can just touch his hem, the hem of his garment, if I can just touch his clothes, then I can be healed. And that's faith. That's building faith that for something that's not seen, that you cannot comprehend, but you're saying, I have faith to see that happen. And so that's what we need to do as leaders and ministers, is we need to cultivate that type of understanding about faith. And though it might seem crazy, we need to speak that stuff. And I mean, if somebody has cancer, we can literally pray and they can be completely healed right now. If they have a tumor that you could see, it could fall off their skin. If they have a broken bone, we could pray and it could be mended right there. You might hear it pop, because that's just the faith that it took to see that miracle take place. If somebody's missing an eye and they have a glass eye, you could pray for them and that glass eye can turn into a real eye. If they're missing teeth, you could pray for them to have teeth and God can put brand new teeth in their mouth. But if we never believe for that, then we'll never see that. And that's what a lot of people struggle with, is they, just like teeth, we think that teeth, well, I didn't take care of my teeth, so they rotted out of my head and now I have false teeth, and or maybe I only have a couple teeth, and we never have faith for God to heal our teeth because it was our fault. But most of the stuff we go through is our fault. Most, if we're dealing with heart health, it's because we didn't eat like we should most of the time. If we're dealing with certain health issues, most of the time it's our fault. Diabetes, you know, I know kids can be born with it and different things, but most of the time it's because we're overweight or we're just not taking care of ourselves. But we must have the faith to say, I don't care if it's my fault. God promised us. He spoke these things to us, and we can receive it if we'll have the faith for it. And so that's what, when you go to pray the prayer of faith, you need to stir that up in the atmosphere in this building, is when, because some of these believers, some of our saints cannot believe for that for themselves. And so you need to increase their faith, and that's part of praying that prayer of faith, is we're going to pray the prayer of faith right now, and we're going to loose miracles, signs, and wonders. You're going to say stuff like that. Increase their faith. Peter said, bid me to come, Jesus. Jesus was walking on water, and Peter just, he had enough faith to say, if that's really you, Jesus, then bid me to come walk on water. And though he did not walk very long, he did walk on water. And so if you would have the faith for that, then we could do incredible feats. And again, it's not to just be ignorant and just say, I'm going to jump off this platform and I'm going to levitate or something. You know, it's not to be ignorant like that, but it's to say we can see mighty miracles take place. If somebody's dead, Brother Billy Cole said this, there was an an elder man in his church that he pastored in West Virginia, and he said that one of the most greatest things that spoke to him is that there was a family that had dealt with a loss, and they went to the hospital. They were trying to get there before any, you know, he passed away, if they could get there and pray for him. And they got there and he had already passed away. But this elder that was in his church that had went with him went in and still laid hands on that person and prayed. And you know what happened? Nothing. They didn't come back to life, but nothing happened. But Billy Cole said it spoke to him, because it, and this is what we need to understand when we do pray the prayer of faith, is even if nothing happens, it's not our fault. And Brother Billy Cole was very strong about this, because he said, if you take credit for what God didn't do, you'll take credit for what he did do. And so praying that prayer of faith, we have to understand, we just pray it. We just speak faith into the atmosphere. It's our job to have that faith for what we cannot see and bring it into what we can see. So we just need to have that blind faith for that. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Nobody told me to do this. Nobody told me how to go about getting a miracle. I just heard the stories. I have faith that if I touch Jesus, I'll be healed. So to kind of get that mentality out into the church and into the congregation, when that time comes in that service and you're feeling that take place, you just tell people, do whatever you feel to do right now, that you'll receive a miracle. If God's telling you to just jump around, then you need to jump around. If God is prompting you to run the aisles and you'll be healed, then you need to run the aisles. Whatever God's showing you or putting inside you, you need to start acting on, because that's what could be your very key to your healing. And so it's not dumb of us to say, you know, I'm going to go to the altar and I'm going to be healed right now. Right. You know, it's not ignorant for us to say, my arm's going to grow back if there was an arm missing. You know, you could literally say stuff like that. And if you have the faith for it, it can happen. And again, don't feel guilty or bad when something doesn't happen, like you missed the mark because you said it was going to take place and it didn't happen. We have to leave room for that, because we're humans. We do miss the mark. And don't feel embarrassed about it or hurt about it, but just feel like, God, I want to make sure I'm hearing you. I want to make sure that I'm listening and following the prompting of the Spirit. And don't ever take credit for it, because then when God does do something, you'll also take credit for that. And so I, as a minister, it's so easy to say, oh, I preached a dud. I did a terrible job. But I thought that's what God wanted to say. And that's when you hear Billy Cole in the background saying it. I rebuke you, because if you'll take credit for what God didn't do, you'll take credit for what he did do. Brother Jack Cunningham, his nephew, he was at a conference, and he said that his uncle had just thrown on him, you're gonna speak instead of me. And Jack Cunningham was like, I don't know if I can do that, and uncle. And at the end, they got into the car and left, and he's like, I'm sorry, uncle. He said, I bombed that one. And Jack, or Billy Cole said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And then said, you know, if you'll take credit for that. It's very important we understand it's God who brings the miracles. It's God who does that. It's our job to have faith for him to do it. If you believe God to do it, he will do it. The centurion said to Jesus, if you can just speak, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to go do anything. I understand how authority works. Just speak it and it can take place. We need to have that type of faith as well, that if pastor speaks it, or if another brother in the church speaks it, or a sister in the church speaks it, it can happen. Don't just look at sister so-and-so and say, oh, she's always like that. She's crazy. She speaks crazy things. Don't, because that's doubt. That'll get doubt in the atmosphere, and that could stop a miracle from taking place, because that doubt's there and that faith can't be truly released. And so there might be that person that just is always thinking out of the box. I had a friend in high school. He had that type of faith, and he said, you know, God can float my car if I wanted to. And I was like, well, that's true, he could. And you know what? I've heard a story that if that happened, Brother Bruce Howell, he was in the Middle East, and he said, it was just a small minister session, and he said, we asked him, what's the most amazing thing you've ever seen in miracle take place? And he said, well, the Holy Ghost is the greatest miracle you can see. But he said, when it comes to like miraculous things, he said him and his wife were in the Middle East, and they were coming to a Muslim checkpoint. And he said that as they got to the checkpoint, they knew that, I mean, they were carrying stuff that would, you know, articles and different things for the churches, their, you know, Sunday school lessons and stuff. And so they knew if they were checked, you know, they would be killed. And if they turned around, they'd just get followed and kill them then. So they just kept driving, and they started praying. As they approached the checkpoint, he said the cart lifted off the ground, floated over the checkpoint, and they just kept driving. And he said they just looked, and nobody followed. And so whether that was they were carrying on the angel's wings or whatever, if we don't have the faith for that type of stuff, we'll never, ever see that stuff. And so we must have faith. So how do we pray the prayer of faith? And I'll be done with this. How do we pray the prayer of faith? And I want to say this before I go any further, is it's not just about specific words you say. Because Jesus, just because we say Jesus doesn't mean something's going to happen. Because people can say it in vain. And that's why we're not supposed to say it in vain. But sometimes we say the name of Jesus without faith at all. We just, it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. And that doesn't do anything. There's no power in that. And so, because we need to speak it with faith. And so, it's not that there's a certain form of words that creates the prayer of faith or anything like that. But we have, Brother Billy Cole has really kind of put some words together for us. But it's not necessarily the words, but it's understanding that when you pray it, you've released that faith into the atmosphere, that you've created that atmosphere of faith, that even the believers in the church have created that in their mind, that they've created that expectation. And that's why it's so key to maybe tell a story of healing or whatever you're feeling God is wanting to do before you pray the prayer of faith. So how do we pray? First, you say something that's faith building, such as God healing someone. Then the second is we actually pray the prayer, and it's the most common one you hear is by the authority of the word of God and in the power of the name of Jesus. And then you can say, I loose miracles, I loose healing, I loose this stuff in the atmosphere right now. And you can say, you know, on the count of three, we're going to say Jesus, and on the count of three, people are going to be healed, or you're going to start speaking in other tongues. You kind of build that up, that on the count of three, I'm going to pray this prayer, but then when I say one, two, three, I want you to shout Jesus. And again, it's nothing about one, two, three, Jesus, but it's about that you're creating, it's all coming to a head. It's all coming to a place where people can have the faith that at this very second, I'm going to be healed. At this very second, I'm going to speak in tongues. At this very second, the miraculous is going to happen. I'm not going to have to go wait for a report. I'm actually going to feel something. I'm going to see something change in my body, or I'm going to see something happen in this church. And so that's what we really need to cultivate. I can feel something right now. You can just feel it in the atmosphere because we're creating that in our minds. We're starting to have faith. And so let's just do that right now. Why don't we stand and let's pray that God would fill someone with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray that there would be something that would take place in this church today. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God, in the power of your precious name, we speak faith into the atmosphere. We speak this, that it would take place today. We come with great expectation that you're going to heal the sick, that you're going to fill those that need the Holy Ghost. If there's someone that's brokenhearted, that you're going to mend them. We speak this into the atmosphere
here right now. I thank you, Lord. We've come with great expectation that you could do anything exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We loose this into the atmosphere. We loose this into this building today, that when visitors walk in this place, when there's men that maybe have come in this church for the first time, that they will begin to feel the Spirit of God overtaking them, that they would be consumed by your presence. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this. We thank you, God, for all that you're going to do today. We loose angels to go into the future of this service and begin to minister. We bind every principality, every power, and we loose the angels to begin to work. And we cast away these evil spirits that would come against this church. We bind the spirit of fear. We bind the spirit of depression. We bind the spirit of doubt that would try and come against these people here today. And we loose the spirit of freedom in this place. We thank you, Lord. And we give you all the glory and all the honor for what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Again, when you feel that moment in a service where it's built up and faith is going out and you feel God wants to do something, it's your job to begin to tell people, to encourage people, lift them up. You're the cheerleader of that moment that says God is going to heal. You speak it with authority. You speak it with boldness. You say God's going to heal someone right now. If God tells you a specific thing that's going to, someone's going to be healed of, if God prompts to you someone's sick and they don't even know it, you need to just speak it with boldness, and someone might just, that's me. That's me. And that's happened in a service I preached a couple years ago. I just said I felt like someone's dealing with a financial struggle right now. It was in Florida, and I just feel like God wants to answer that, but he'll only answer it if you'll step out right now and come to this altar, and we're going to pray for you. And this guy, he didn't come very often. He just walked up to the front, and I just started praying for him, and someone else came up to the front. I prayed for them, but that guy called me up that night, and he said, "You're not going to believe this." He said, I'm a truck driver. He said, "My truck broke down. I didn't have $20,000 to buy a new truck or buy this part for my truck." And he said, by the end of that day, I got the money to buy that part, or I don't remember if it was a whole new truck or whatever, but he said, "When you did that, I knew that you're the real deal." And I was like, "Well, thank you," but I said, "Really, it's all God. And if you'll step out, even when it might feel like you're being called out, you can receive what God has for you." And so that's very important to let people know. It might take you to step out, might get out of your comfort zone. You might have to come down here and signify you're dealing with fear, you're dealing with thoughts of suicide. But if you come to this altar right now, you're going to be completely healed of that. You're not going to fear anymore. You're not going to doubt anymore. But it's your job to let that out with boldness, with passion. And so don't apologize for it. If you miss it and pastor says, "Hey, that was kind of, you know," then just say, "I'm sorry, pastor, I'll get it. I'll be better next time." You know, that's the key there is don't let that fear of failure or fear of missing it cause you from not being bold to do it. All right, pastor.
Is there any questions?
Yeah, any questions? Yeah.
Really. And then a scriptural example that came to mind is I think God called Ezekiel to speak that word of faith. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" He said, "We'll begin to prophesy."
Yeah.
I mean, that's an example of scripture of the word of faith, because, I mean, how much better can you get than that?
Yeah. Well, prophecy is something that we've kind of overlooked for saints to do. Like that's for great men of God to do. And there's an office of a prophet for the church. So that's part of the fivefold ministry of being a prophet. But the gift of prophecy is for all believers that have the Holy Ghost to do. And if you read through the Bible, it does talk about how prophecy
is for exhorting and lifting up and encouraging the church, is for the edification of the church. And so when you begin to speak to something that isn't there, like bones, and you speak, there's going to be flesh, there's going to be blood, there's going to be veins that you're prophesying to those bones. And just like if somebody's sick in here, you say, you might be sick today, but I'm praying right now in Jesus' name, you won't be sick from this day forward. You speak, and that's prophesying, but we have to get, you don't have to say, oh, I'm a prophet. But you have to get in that comfortable space where you feel like I can operate. I can work in authority and boldness. And that comes through pastor releasing you to do that. But I feel like your pastor's, he's released you guys to do that. So do it with boldness. Do it with passion. And don't regret it. And pastor, he's here to guide you and direct you if there's that's there. But I feel like he's safe for you guys. So if there's something you miss it, he's going to encourage you to just, you'll get it next time, you know. So don't ever be ashamed or afraid. If you have the Holy Ghost, you got it. Yes. Well, yes, I've gotten this for myself. Right, and in after he received the Holy Ghost, Peter operated in a boldness that he never operated in before, because as soon as he walked into the temple, that guy had been sitting there forever. They had seen him many times. But this time it was different. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't have gold today. I don't have any silver today. But pick up your bed and walk. And that guy got up and he started walking. He didn't hesitate. Hey, if you let me pray for you and you believe, God might heal you. You know, he just said, take up your bed and walk. That's what I'm saying. Talking that boldness and authority, and kind of what this sister said here is sometimes it's in our wording. Our wording kind of reveals what's in our mind, because we're saying it, God could heal you if you come to church. But if we invite someone to church, don't say God can heal you. Say God's going to heal you if you come to my church today, because pastor's going to pray for you and you're going to be healed instantly. That's speaking faith. That's what's, you need to have that boldness in your mind that you can speak that way. And I've said it to my wife many times. I want to come to church. I want to go to a church that has that expectation. If I invite someone and I tell them, pastor's going to pray for you when it's time to pray, and he's going to speak life, and he's going to speak healing in your life, and it's going to happen right away. I want to have that type of expectation that I could tell people. Yeah. If you will do that, you won't have no problem going to someone at the grocery store, if they're in a wheelchair, going up to them saying, hey, you need to come to my church. I don't know your situation, but we pray for people and they get healed. So you need to come to my church because we're going to pray for you and you're going to be healed. And that, you just raised the faith of someone who has nothing to know with God. And they might come just because you said that. And that's what people in the New Testament did. They were just bringing people out to sit in the shadow of the disciples. Not because they told them to do that, but because the disciples couldn't get to everybody. And so that type of faith was in that city. And so if you can create that culture here in this church and that gets out beyond these walls, people are just going to come in here just to see what's going on. And so speak with boldness. I know you got music practice. Is there any other questions? All right.